This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from Honolulu, Hawaii. The lead stories are: GM car sharing service is faltering in some cities. The FCC chair approves of the T-Mobile Sprint merger, but the DOJ is still on the fence. China may have more drone location data. Google is suspending business with
Huawei.
I want to welcome you to episode 1369 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, May 20th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You too can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. I want to welcome all the new listeners to the show. Thanks for being here. This is a change from the normal routine we're doing. Now I am audio only for the next 4 episodes while I get ready to depart Honolulu for my new secondary home, I guess, in Michigan. And I want to just tell you guys, it's kind of weird here. I'm in an empty studio. I have the MixPre 6 on a cardboard box. I have the laptop really on a basically kind of a makeshift printer stand. I'm kind of roughing it here. And the kids were actually asking me, where are you going to do the show? And I'm like, well, I got to make a spot in the old studio, which is now largely an empty room. But hey, I want to welcome you to the show. Thanks for checking the show out. Be audio here for the new future till we get the new studio up and running in Michigan. But I want you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. I want you to visit the website. When you're over there, get subscribed to the podcast via the links on the website. Of course, we want you to subscribe to the newsletter as well. Just find that a little bit further down on the page. Of course, you can listen to the show on blueberry.com, or you can listen on your smart home device by using the keyword to launch that device and say, play the podcast, Geek News Central. You can join our chat room at geeknews.chat or our Slack channel just by emailing me at geeknews@gmail.com. Really, either way, let me know. We'll get you on one of those two chat systems so you can participate. Of course, that email address is good for commentary about the show. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Geek News or on Facebook by my name. Partner shows are all linked at geeknewscentral.com, include GNC Week in Review, The Gadget Professor, The Pro Gear Site, The New Media Show, and of course, Podcast Legends. You can pick up Ohana Gear at cafepress.com/Ohana Store. And this show is sponsored by the longest-running continuous sponsor of a podcast, and that is GoDaddy.com. All my deals can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Whether it be 30% off a new product purchase, whether it be a 99-cent.com, whether it be a dollar a month at managed WordPress hosting, which includes a free domain, or you can get hooked up and get a regular hosting account, and I got to laugh here. I'll tell you this something after the ad spot. A dollar a month, a regular hosting account with a free domain. Again, that's $12 to get you started with either a managed WordPress site or a regular hosting account. Don't forget that 99cent.com or get started on website builder. And those are 3 plans there. All those offer a 30-day free trial. Use my promo code. Share them with your friends, family members, people that you know. Use the promo code to save yourself money on the website. That's the best way to get connected and help out the show in a big, big way. I'm being distracted in here. When I came in to do the podcast tonight, my daughter's cat came in the room, and I tried to shoo her out, and she didn't want to leave, and she was minding her own business. And now, so I start the GoDaddy ad, and she found a box full of packing paper. So she's in there kneading the paper and looking at me saying, see, I waited till you started doing the show to start making noise because I knew you can't get up and get me to get me out of here. Well, what she doesn't realize is I'm not live today. I can stop and whisk her out of here. But anyway, I just thought it was kind of funny. She's enjoying the open space, exploring areas in the studio that she's never been able to. But anyway, enough on the cat. But anyway, I do appreciate you if you support GoDaddy. And a matter of fact, I was afraid that I had packed a cat. We were missing one on here for a day. So that probably wouldn't have went real well when the container arrived in Michigan about 4 weeks from now. So, all right, so moving on here. Let me just, again, thank GoDaddy, and please share those codes and use them. And we definitely appreciate GoDaddy's ongoing support of the show. So the studio teardown, I didn't start it on Friday. Can't remember quite why. I'm still fighting this cold. Sniffles are gone, but the cough is a hanger on her. So I started the studio teardown Saturday. And, oh my God, what a pain. You know, as much as I'm a neat freak and try to keep the cables organized, when you have LAN cables, when you got audio cables, you got video cables, and it's all like jumbled together, it turned out to be a whole day affair to get everything tore down, packed up, boxed up, and really it was a pretty big undertaking. Then Sunday did more work in here, but yeah, it's gutted now. And actually, the stuff is in the actual container. The container arrived this morning about 11:30. Pulled it in, dropped it, unhooked from it, and really within about 15 minutes, I had the doors open and was moving boxes into it. And that continued for about 5 hours. And to be honest with you, and I think I mentioned it when we started the show here, I'm going to be one whip dog. And matter of fact, had to do a little Red Bull tonight to get the power up to do the show. But I'm sure I am going to feel it in the morning, because I'm lifting boxes 4 feet to get it into the trailer, then walk, getting in a ladder and packing it. And of course, it's been hot. And I think I drank a gallon or two of water today just to stay hydrated. But yeah, everything's good, and so loading continues, and with any luck, I'll be done completely by Wednesday. I did have, over the weekend, I'm going to be doing an event on the 31st. I promised a friend of mine who's retiring from the Navy that I would live stream his retirement, so I had to test the portable TriCaster studio. I got that out on Saturday, had it spread all over the kitchen table, much to my wife's chagrin. And of course, the house is already a mess because of my stuff. So, yeah, that was an all-day affair, making sure it was updated and just doing the things I needed to do, make sure that that was ready to go. So that's good. I've got that packed up. I've got all the gear I need for that. As I said, I'm about 3/4 loaded with a container. But one thing is my son and girlfriend are quite anxious to move into this room. Now, what's unique about this room, it has no closet. So it looks massive. So I told him, I said, you guys are going to have to buy a couple of dressers, a curio, or something to be able to hang your clothes. And so they've been eyeballing it here as the room is emptied, and they're pretty excited about it. Now, one thing I did not share with all of you, because it caused quite a bit of drama around here, and I don't know if I shared this all with you already. I apologize, but I don't remember sharing it. So about, let me think, probably a month ago or so, maybe a little longer than a month ago, my daughter surprised my wife and I. My daughter lives here in Hawaii, and she's been dating a guy for about 6 months. And she dropped the bomb on us that they had eloped and gotten married. And, oh, yeah, that was a fun couple of weeks. But other than that, we're kind of past that. And he is essentially moved in at this point. So we're full to overflowing here. So what's going to happen? It actually kind of works out a little bit. Because I'm going to have 4 people contributing to rent, to the mortgage. And then, of course, I'm going to be carrying the rest of it, which is, takes a load off me a little bit. But I'm going to have my daughter and her husband, my son and her girlfriend, my son, who's 15. He is going to finally get his own bedroom. He's pretty jazzed about that. So with me vacating a studio with the shuffle, two couples, and then my son and my wife is keeping the master bedroom. So a little bit of shuffling going on here in the household. But yeah, I had refrained from kind of sharing that news in that it was a bit of drama here in the home. You can imagine a Japanese wife getting that kind of news, completely non-traditional, and definitely a few tears and conversations, and me having conversations with the young man. He's a good kid. He's in the military, so he's got that going for him. He's got to keep his nose clean. He's in the Army. He's got a couple of years left here, and seems to be doing okay on his career track. And it is kind of nice to be able to, I guess, mentor a little bit. He really had no, he had no father figure for many, many years. So being able to kind of give him some guidance and you know, help him a little bit has been kind of good. And again, I don't think I told you folks this. I'm becoming senile. If I did, I apologize. But anyway, that's what has kind of happened here. So anyway, lots of moving parts. And by the way, I thank you for everyone that responded on Facebook to the inquiries on the cars. And I really weighed everything. I looked at the, as a matter of fact, I went and saw a Kia Telluride. Nice vehicle. Really, really nice. But I am going to Michigan, and there is not a lot of, you know, it's just like here in Hawaii, everyone drives Toyotas, drives a lot of foreign vehicles. People don't drive too many GM or Fords. And then it's just the opposite in Michigan. Everyone's driving a Ford, a GM or a GM product. And, so I think at this point, I'm about 90% convinced to go with the Ford Edge, either the ST or the Titanium. The ST is the top line. I kind of am attracted about that 2.7 liter motor versus a 2.0. So I'm going to look at that. And then they promised me I can do a overnight test drive so I can alleviate all my concerns about headlights or find out if that's actually the case. But other than that, I think I'm set on the vehicle type, and I got a couple of salesmen that are chomping at the bit back in Michigan to sell me a car. So I told the guy today, he says, "What's your criteria?" I said, "The criteria is very simple, the lowest price." I said, "Whoever has the lowest price gets my business." So we'll see what happens there. And I told him, I said, "I'm going to be talking to a couple of dealers, and I'll be playing you guys against each other." He says, "What's the other dealer you're talking to?" I said, "Well, I'm not going to tell you." I will be showing your quote to them and their quote to you. And so anyway, we'll see what happens here. Got some H2O here. Let me take a shot of that and see if we can get rid of the cough. All right, let's get into the content. I do have, Kirk was able to find a fair amount of content tonight. And him and I actually had a discussion over, he basically replied to my thoughts on Slack on, you know, when he's going to be able to have the show ready when I'm on the East Coast. And he'll be ready by 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening. I must really apologize here. I've all day, no problem with a cough, or at least one that I didn't think I had. And then start the show and I start hacking on you guys. Okay, so let's move into the content. Of course, if you have any comments, send me via email, geeknews@gmail.com. I did have a couple come in, and I guess maybe I'll address the comments that come in. At the beginning of the show, I played the intro to the translation, at least that Siri gave me. And I still, again, for those of you that know me, I destroy companies' names all the time. It's just a known fact. I'm an equal opportunity English destroyer and even foreign country destroyer. No prisoners held here. But Ravi was not happy with me. He said, "Hey, Todd, I'm a regular listener of your very good show. Been a listener for years. Always good quality tech reporting. But I was really disappointed by how you continuously mispronounced and mocked Huawei." Oh, I'm not mocking. Well, okay. I'm not mocking them by mispronouncing their word. I'm just generally mispronouncing it. And even when I listen to the translation today on Siri, it says it the same way I thought I was saying it, Huawei. So if I'm wrong, but you're saying it's Huawei. But that's not how it's spelled. It's not Huawei. It's not spelled that way. So he's saying it's Huawei. But that wasn't what Siri, how it sounded from Siri. So anyway, Huawei is how I'm going to pronounce it. And until I hear it some more and can figure it out, that's the way it is. But it takes less than a minute to Google the correct pronunciation, and you would never so mangled the name of you would never have so mangled the name of an American company. Oh, I do. semantic and how I pronounce that for many, many years. Oh, yeah, I destroy companies' names all the time. This is very demeaning and racist. No, it's not racist. Absolutely not. It's just I mispronounce it. That's all. And shows a lack of respect for other cultures. No, it's just because I mispronounce it and I have a very difficult time. I've never been a good foreign speaker ever. I can't even pronounce half of the Japanese words, let alone English words. So no matter what your view on Huawei is, but they are a very cutting-edge company producing technology that none of the American companies are capable of, which is why Trump is on a witch hunt against this company. I do not believe that. Respect companies around the world and match them by producing equally good products, not by mocking them, please. Thanks for hearing me out. Love the show otherwise. I don't believe that. I believe that they are legitimately has an issue with data going back to the Chinese government. We have to remember, okay, America is the land of the free. Companies operate with autonomy in the United States. Uncle Sam doesn't come in unless they provide a warrant or a FISA warrant and say, we're looking for this information. American companies do not come in and tap data, have a data stream of information about its citizens being fed back from private companies to the government. It doesn't happen in the United States. But let's be very, very clear. China the Chinese government is what it is. It's Red China. It's communism. Every company answers to the state in China. Everyone. The state has direct reach into every company in China. Believe what you must. But can you imagine if American government had the ability to reach into companies here? They don't. They can't. But it's not the case in China. They have to bend to the will of the government, no matter what. Now, having been in my prior life, having had some knowledge about stuff that goes on in the world, all I can say is it's not beyond reasonable thinking here on what the Chinese are doing with this company. If you think about what purportedly we did with Cisco switches doing the same thing, this company, they learn from the best. They learn from us to do what they have done, are doing. Now, some folks are going to say, Todd, you're out there. I don't honestly think so, to be very, very frank. I really don't. And the government just doesn't put the hammer down. Now, they came to light before President Trump was in office. Their actions were basically also under the scrutiny of President Obama. So I don't believe it's political with this particular movement. Sure, the timing sure looks obvious. It looks like it is. It could be. But I don't know. I just, the Chinese steal everything. They're huge on intellectual property theft. Massive intellectual property theft. I go to CES, I see it happening. They have teams running around doing nothing but measuring, taking pictures, doing anything they can to get as much intel on a piece of equipment as possible. And weeks later, you see a piece of gear that was introduced at CES that is being produced by the Chinese. It's a direct ripoff. They are the masters of IP theft by far. They are the masters of it. So what's happening today with the trade situation, if we can't get the IP theft under control, number one, and I know this is not related to the company, but number one, if we can't get the IP theft under control, we're doomed as a country. We really are. If they steal everything that we, our creative and brilliant minds produce, we're screwed. So it has to stop. Now, again, going back to this gear, there not may not be an active back door, but there's always a way into this equipment. Always. There's always ways left. They're not going and providing code review and everything else. So we'll see. We'll see what happens here. I, for one, based on my experience, when I hear about this kind of stuff being talked about, there's a smoking gun somewhere. And we just don't have the privilege or the access or the security clearance that gives us the right to be able to go in and see what the actual situation is with this company. The DoD does not arbitrarily say, stop using a product or service. But when there's an outright ban, and then they tell critical infrastructure, outright ban, there's something else that's there. So I maybe I'll be proven wrong on this over time. But that's my position I'm going to be in. And Robbie, thanks for your feedback. And again, I think the company's got issues. But I've reported on lots of Chinese companies in the past, including DJI and other companies had favorable things to say about their products and services. So anyway, thanks for your feedback, and I hope you continue to listen. Also got another email, and the reason I'm doing these emails is so that I don't forget them at the end of the show. Greg said, I've read too many dystopian novels that include the abuse of facial recognition technology. Currently, I'm reading a series by John 12 Hawks. In my opinion, he doesn't go far enough in showing the risk of surveillance. Maybe we need laws to restrict the use of surveillance technologies like facial recognition. It's creepy to think that my every action is being recorded somewhere. And Greg, I agree. Also got an email from Toby. He said, did I hear you'll be visiting Denver in the near future? I think I covered this one on a previous show. Potentially, Toby, I'll let the audience know if that's going to happen. But let's go ahead and get back into the regular stack of stuff. And I might as well switch up here and talk about the U.S. government warning that China may have access to drone data. In an alert, it cautions that Chinese-made drones could share information overseas. So the Department of Homeland Security issued an alert warning that Chinese-made drones may be sending flight information back to their manufacturers who could share it with third parties. According to CNN, the alert warns companies and organizations that the U.S. government has strong concerns about any technology product takes American data into the territory of an authoritarian state. Again, that's China, that permits its intelligence service to have unfettered access to the data. Again, companies can't say no. They are compelled. The alert reportedly cautions organizations involved in national security and critical functions that they must be especially vigilant as they may be at greater risk for espionage. If the alert has any merit, it could be serious as in U.S. drones are used for everything from law enforcement to first response missions and medical deliveries. The alert doesn't specify a drone manufacturer, but CNN points out that 80% of the drones in U.S. and Canada come from DJI, which is headquartered in Shenzhen, China. And according to Reuters, DJI said the security of our technology has been independently verified by the U.S. government and leading U.S. businesses. The company also said it gives customers full and complete control of how the data is collected and stored and transmitted. For government and other critical operations, DJI also offers drones that do not transfer data back to the company or the internet. So we'll see what happens with this and see if someone else ends up on the hit list. But I think DJI has been pretty aggressive in basically outlining everything. And sure, if you share your, you know, when you fly a DJI drone, that flight data does get sent back. But you acknowledge that it's actually happening, and it is stored on a server in China, and you're duly noted that you should be very careful around restricted areas, including airports, power facilities, you know, places that, you know, could be, that data could be used otherwise. Well, anyway, so we'll move on here. GM's car sharing service is pulling out of 8 cities, including Chicago and New York City. Apparently, the Maven is ending operations. They basically said that they're going to go down, wind down service in 8 of the 17 cities, which includes Boston, Chicago, and New York. Maven will continue to operate in Detroit, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., and Toronto. They say we're shifting offerings to concentrate in markets in which we have the strongest current demand and growth potential. So, you know, the car sharing service has been in flux since its CEO, Julie Stein, left GM in January. After leading the division since its inception, Maven was launched in 2016 as a no-membership fee rental service meant to compete with Zipcar and Car2Go. My son and his girlfriend use Zipcar a lot. So they are going to be keeping some of its services, which is called the Maven Gig Service. I don't know what that is. But yeah, too many of these companies out there. The FCC chair has backed the merger after T-Mobile and Sprint pledged 97% of U.S. 5G coverage in 3 years. That's a pretty big promise. It really, really is. But at the same time, the Department of Justice is still on the fence on this. So, but the FCC chair says I'll prove it based on that stipulation alone. Google has suspended business with Huawei following the U.S. government's blacklisting. And so there are all sorts of trouble here. And it seems that Google has suspended their business dealings and officially blacklisting them. What it means is they will no longer have access to U.S. businesses such as Google, which will also include access to Android. That means that future handsets will no longer be able to access Android and Google services. As to what this means for current Huawei handset, it appears that Google will continue supporting these days as it is, but they will be longer to get future Android updates. Google basically said, we are complying with the order and reviewing the implications for users of our service, Google Play, and the security precautions from Google Play Protect will continue to function on existing devices. It is unclear how long the blacklisting is expected to last, as previous Chinese company ZTE had encountered similar problems, although that was rather short-lived. ZTE managed to reach a deal to unban their devices. That being said, Huawei did previously state that they had a plan B to replace Android if it was required. Whether or not the company will enact that plan remains to be seen, but for now, another strike at their service here. Moving off the semi-political stuff, and I'm coughing all over you. It's horrible. I'm going to have to enact a cough button on these stupid systems. All right, Lego fans, you can vote. And if you vote for International Space Station as a toy set, you potentially, this could become available. But they've done this before. German Lego fan Christopher Ruge's model of the space station twice qualified for the product review, though through Lego Ideas website, and was twice turned down. Now, the Danish toy company is letting the public decide if Ruge's space station is put into production. They said, we've dug into the LEGO Ideas Archive to rediscover product ideas with the potential to become an official LEGO Ideas set launching in 2020. So we reviewed every single product, and this reached the 10,000 supporter milestone, but was not approved. So this review is inspired by LEGO Ideas 10th anniversary, and it resulted in 4 finalists, including the ISS, a model of Disney's animated Alien Stitch, a set of miniature Sega arcade machines, and a smaller version of Nathan Salway's Art of the Brick sculpture, Yellow. So anyway, you can put in votes. The votes will be linked in the show notes from the show notes page on Geek News Central. An unsecured database have exposed millions of Instagram influencers. It contained personal data like phone numbers and email addresses. So, according to TechCrunch, the database was hosted on Amazon Web Services and left without a password. It contained as many as 49 million records. Each record contained public data scraped from influencer accounts. In some cases, the location of accounts as well as the owners, email addresses, and phone numbers. Each record also contained an estimated worth of the account. Wow. Based on followers, engagement, and reach. Time on Instagram now a little more. And there's a lot of people in love with themselves, posting a lot of selfies of themselves. And it's interesting. I followed a couple of people, and I got almost instantly messages from them on some sort of bot that said, hey, are you signed up for my private website? You can watch my show. I'm like, So it looks to me like Instagram's not only being used to promote people's social space, but it's also being used to promote adult content for sure. So just another avenue. It's not surprising, I guess, but was kind of shocked to see that. SpaceX Starlink is now launching this coming Thursday, and the mission to send 60 satellites in orbit was delayed last week due to high winds. So we'll see. We'll see if this actually gets deployed this coming Thursday. We'll report upon it on the next show if that's the case. Of course, it'll be live streamed on SpaceX webcast homepage. What is the time? Does it say? Doesn't actually, CNET doesn't report the time. I'm sure it'll be on a SpaceX website. You can watch the launch. Microsoft wants a U.S. privacy law that puts the burden on tech companies. They say Europe's privacy laws went into effect nearly a year ago. It's time for the U.S. to catch up, the tech giant says. It's kind of funny because I implemented at Blueberry, we implemented GDPR across the board. All of our customers get it, U.S. and international and EU, of course. We just implemented it across the entire stack. So I've really kind of already implemented that. It says, the company's corporate vice president, deputy general counsel, Julie Brill, wrote Monday that people have a right to privacy. As they become increasingly alarmed by how much data tech giants have gathered on them, the post comes nearly a year after the EU's GDPR. While there are multiple state laws on data privacy, like California Consumer Privacy Act and Illinois Biometric Information Privacy Act, there is no U.S. federal legislation, even as multiple senators oppose their own bills to protect the data. Again, tech giants like Facebook, Google, and Apple have also called for a data privacy law. You know, they can do some of this on their own. The majority of data protection is an opt-out experience, whereas GDPR is opt-in. You're automatically opted out. So, Microsoft has said the numbers to back up how often people actually take the extra step to protect their privacy. In the year since GDPR came into effect, Microsoft releases the privacy dashboard. They said that more than 18 million people have used those tools. And considering there are about 1.5 billion Windows devices, that would mean only 1% of Microsoft users have actually changed their privacy settings. Similarly, there were about 2.5 billion visits last year to Google, but only about 20 million people have viewed their ads page. So we say we want privacy, but we're not making the changes on our own websites. A senator has proposed a strict do not track rule in a new bill. He says people are fed up with big tech privacy abuses. Online advertising has become more invasive. Senator John Hawley, Republican of Montana, announced today that he plans to introduce a bill to create a do not call list, but for data tracking. He says the Do Not Track Act would, if approved, allow people using online service to opt out of any data tracking that it isn't necessary for that particular service to work properly. It would also create a national list that would provide people with an option to block any secondary data tracking and penalize companies that continue to collect unnecessary data. Good luck getting this through. These bills just seem to stagnate in Congress and go nowhere. Stanford has put together something called Doggo. It's a open source four-legged robot, and the video on it's pretty slick. But students from Stanford have basically welcomed this new addition to their campus, Doggo, a four-legged robot that hopes to find a home research labs around the world. Doggo followed similar designs to other small quadruple robots, but what makes it unique is its low cost and accessibility. While comparable bots can cost tens of thousands of dollars to create, the Doggo, created by the Stanford's Extreme Mobility Lab, estimated its total cost to be less than $3,000. What's more, the design is completely open source. You can print off the plans and make one. It's pretty slick. Watch the video. They've done a pretty cool job. And someone that's in robotics, this would be a great project to rebuild and make it happen. And under $3,000 for parts is reachable by a lot of folks that are into this. If you're a Pandora fan, Pandora's released a new app for Mac. So if you've been wishing for this, your wishes come true. Provided that you use a Mac, the Internet Radio Service has released this new Pandora Mac app. Don't worry, they say there's going to be a Windows version as well. Pandora says it's going to be released in the near future. And the desktop app will enable users to access the Internet Radio Service while having to deal with a separate browser window. The app itself has a very clean interface that's very mobile inspired and puts recommendation tools in the spotlight. So it's not really overflowing with features, and that's a good thing. And everything is laid out pretty basic manner. So definitely check that out. A little information here from Texas. Texas poised to be banning red light cameras. And they did that here in Hawaii quite a while ago. Actually, it was red light vans. But they become the 11th state in the country to ban the use of red light cameras. And they're going to outlaw the devices designed to catch drivers speeding through red lights by a 23-8 vote last week. And now it waits the signature of Republican Governor Greg Abbott, who is expected to sign the bill. In theory, red light cameras are designed to prevent people from blowing through traffic stops. To accomplish that, the camera flags when a driver runs a red light. While the camera do a decent job, like getting preventing some crashes, and a number of studies have found the cameras have led to an increase in rear-end collisions. I tell you, I got one nailed by one in Washington, D.C. What happened was I was on a street I really wasn't familiar with, and I knew I blew it. I knew I blew the red light. I was lucky. I saw the red light. I didn't even see the light. It was kind of on a corner. It didn't have an overhang one, and I was really lucky I didn't get T-boned or T-boned someone, but I got a ticket out of that. I was guilty as charged, but it was just because I'm not driving on a street that I was familiar with. But you know when you went through, you're like, oh, and you're kicking yourself, right? But I got one in D.C. a couple of years ago. Well-deserved on my part. I just wasn't paying attention enough. Luckily, there was no accident. The Pixel 3a phones are supposedly randomly powering off for some users. So it's been a couple of weeks. And those users are experiencing these handsets randomly powering off during the day. And this causes a lot of nuisance for those who are using the handsets as their daily drivers, which is most of the users. There are more than a few reports about this on an online forums and Reddit. Some have also taken the Google official support page to complain about the matter. The new Pixel 3a and Pixel 3a XL are randomly, again, shutting down for some users throughout the day. Google hasn't officially commented on the matter yet, but it's unclear right now what's causing the behavior. So if you've got a Pixel 3a, keep an eye on it. Game of Thrones final was last night. I'm not going to put any spoilers out, but there is a link in the show notes that talk about the high and low points of the Game of Thrones final. I will say this, when we determined who would be the new king, or when they determined who would be the new king, actually, I kind of spoiled it a little bit already, didn't I? It was a WTF moment in my entire house. Almost everyone was like, what the beep? We were surprised. I was really, to be honest with you, truly caught off guard that's how they were going to end it. I'm talking about a screw job for one person. My God. And they got totally screwed. Anyway, I'll wait a couple of weeks and give the rest of my thoughts on this. Also, fans spotted a water bottle in the Game of Thrones series finale. So, a couple of movie mistakes over the years, but yeah, water bottle was seen. More importantly, though, HBO is teasing a 2020 return for Westworld with a new trailer. And I'm very excited about this. I would, you know, it's been a while since we had Westworld. And great series. I'm truly looking forward to the new one that will be the new series that will come out. And but anyway, a third season. And this one doesn't take us back to the Old West. India in her age of shoguns. Instead, it focuses on Breaking Bad star Aaron Paul walking around a futuristic and maybe real city. Tessa Thompson is returning to the show this season. Even Rachelle Wood makes an appearance in the trailer. Otherwise, Lena Waithe and French actor Vincent Cassel are joining the cast. So we'll have to see. But the teaser was pretty teasing. So definitely have a link up in the show notes for you on that. A couple articles that I went through. I found an article in Financial Times, and it talks about a little bit more on basically the U.S. spy chief warning tech companies on China dangers. And it really here is apparently tech companies are being briefed, which I think is good, and it's warning them the dangers of doing business in China, and a further sign Washington's increasingly hawkish stance towards trade. Dan Coats, the Director of National Intelligence, has given several briefings alongside colleagues from the FBI, National Counterintelligence and Security Center, to large tech companies, venture capitalists, and educational institutions. According to those who have attended the sessions, they're designed to highlight the risk with trade with China, especially the threat of cyber attacks and intellectual property theft. The briefings have been held across the country, include Silicon Valley and Washington, and focused particularly on the technology industry. Those involved in Orgasm told the Financial Times the executives have been shown classified materials part of this, something they said was a highly unusual step. And to be honest with you, it's highly unusual depending on the classification. So if we think about the way the government organizes its information, there's basically content that's basically open source. Then there's for official use only, and then there is security classification levels, generally two, and then one with special writers for special access. So depending on what level of a security clearance sticker that those documents had on, for them to show those documents to those executives, if they hadn't been pre-cleared for security clearance, is huge. Now, to be frank, for someone to get a secret clearance is relatively straightforward process, but getting access to top secret stuff is completely different, and it requires an intensive background investigation where they go back and basically look at 15 years of your life and look under every stone and nook and cranny and talk to your neighbors, friends, family members. Dig into your finances, your medical, look at your travel, all kinds of stuff. So, and that takes time. So, can't imagine depending on the level that they show these folks, maybe this was a one-off, but very rare. But apparently the meetings have been facilitated by a group of senators from both major parties, including Mark Warner, the Democrat vice chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee, and Mark Rubio, the Republican senator from Florida. Mr. Warner, a Democrat, said we have to increase awareness among U.S. companies, investors, and universities about the tactics China is now using to undermine U.S. competitiveness and security and influence. So if you have a Democrat in a Republican administration pushing these briefings, okay, a little bit of, security is supposed to, national security is supposed to cut, not have any politics, right? We're supposed to be all on the same team, same fight. So this shows that senators' intelligence chiefs show that both Republicans and Democrats are taking an increasingly combative approach to China. So, again, the Chinese government and the Communist Party pose the greatest long-term threat to U.S. economic and national security, said Rubio, Senator Rubio. It's important that U.S. companies, universities, and trade groups understand fully that threat. And he said, while many folks in Washington understand the gravity of the threat, that's not true across the country, said Mr. Warner. For that reason, I've been in convening meetings between the intelligence community and outside stakeholders and business and academia to ensure they have the full threat picture and hopefully make a different decision about Chinese partnerships. So this is from the Financial Times, by the way. Okay, Google Glass Enterprise Edition 2 is available. Drops to $999 and adds a Qualcomm XR1 chip. Not too many more details than that. So, we thought it had been abandoned here, but Google Glass Enterprise 2. Information about benchmarks and so forth are available within the article. Okay, finally, I want to remind all of you that Geek News Central, my team is putting out content on a regular basis. The writing team is up there. Some of the recent articles on Geek News Central include the FCC chairman recommending approval of T-Mobile, talking about Flick 2 launching on Kickstarter. I love that product. We're talking about Google's tracking history of things you buy. Lots of great articles talking about the administration's tool to report censorship. Talking about social media companies tackling terrorist and violent extreme content. So all this is available on geeknewscentral.com. And don't miss the article by Andrew. Talks about wife search appearing in his adverts on his mobile device. That is the one that's gotten my biggest eyebrow raise in recent days. All right, going to wrap this thing up here. Sorry for coughing on you. I really do appreciate it. It's quite annoying, I know. I'll see if I can edit out a few of those. But thank you for being part of the family here, being part of the Ohana. Thanks for staying subscribed. For my little makeshift studio here, I think I'll include a picture of it in the show notes tonight. You guys will get a kick out of it. But anyway, your feedback is greatly appreciated. Please weigh in on the China piece. Where am I wrong and why? And do you agree with me? And again, I appreciate everyone's opinion on this. I know some of you think everything is political, but I try to look beyond that. And based on basically my experience and exposure over really the past 30 plus years, I just have a hunch that there's a lot more to the story there than any of us will ever see. All right, we'll get off in here. Again, audio only show, a little shorter. Thanks for Kirk for doing the legwork, getting the show notes together and the articles. And I'll be back with you on Thursday, giving an update on what's going on with the pack out here. But I think I'll be just about done and able to kind of breathe a little bit. And I'd be just getting rid of all the extra shipping boxes and all the stuff that they won't need hanging out around here. Other than that, I want to definitely appreciate you for listening to the show. Tell your friends and family members about it. Talk to folks around the water cooler. Recommend the show. Definitely appreciate it. And if you even feel the need, even write me an Apple Podcast review. Don't ask that very often. So if you get over to Apple Podcasts, write a review of the show. Hope you'd write a 5-star. If you don't write a 5-star, maybe don't write one. But anyway, thanks everyone for being here. And again, continue to support the sponsor, GoDaddy, and we definitely appreciate their continued support of the show. And you become an insider. We've had a few new people join as insiders recently, and I appreciate each and every one of you that do that at the $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 a month level, or even those one-off single donations. This is a great time during the transition to donate to the show. Definitely appreciate when you do, and thank you for your consideration. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time here on Geek News Central at geeknewscentral.com.